I'm David Eichenbaum from Retina Vitreous Associates of Florida, and I'm very excited to kick off Eichenbaum's Acorns with my very good friend Rishi Singh. Rishi, hello.
Thanks for having me, David.
My pleasure. Thanks for being here. The whole point of this series is to talk about things that we don't often hear about in retina. And for anyone who knows retina and knows you, are aware of the incredible amount of work you've put into developing multiple successful continuing medical education meetings. This is a niche, and there are a couple of people who do it, but I don't think there's anyone I know in retina who does it more visibly than you do. So tell me first, let's talk about the meetings that you've been deeply involved in and that you're developing now. Let's go through the Rishi Singh catalog of greatest CME hits for starters.
So I'm obviously running the Hawaiian Eye Retina Hawaiian Eye meeting, which I've run for the past few years from Ju with Judy Kim. I run the OSN meeting in New York with my compatriots Yasha Modi, Behti Hidatanya, and Tali Caden. I'm about to start the Sunshine Eye meeting, which is in Florida next year, and you're a speaker there with your coworker Priya Avakaria and also Jorge Fortune as the program chair. And the genesis of actually the bigger meeting that I started, which is the first one, which is Retina World Congress. That was the beginning of all of this stuff, which was back 2019-ish or so. And
And that's grown. That one's even as of recently has become an annual meeting. And these are meetings which are well known on the calendar. These are not regional meetings. I mean, perhaps our Florida meeting may be more regional to start, but these are national level meetings that have been, and international level meetings that have been around for a long time. What inspired you? How did you roll out of bed one day and think, you know, I'm going to start Retina World Congress and get retina specialists from all over the world to come in or travel to Fort Lauderdale in the winter every other year.
So my background has always been a teacher and an educator. I taught residents and fellows, medical students for years, advising people on their careers and their early phase kind of entry to ophthalmology. And I found when I was a person who was also learning, like you and I both were many years ago, we still are learning each day, but our learning was exponentially driven when we went to some of these meetings. And the meetings, especially when Retina World Congress started, it was really to capitalize on the idea that there is so much great stuff happening outside the US. We always think of ourselves as the utopia or the highest kind of mark for medical care. And quite honestly, there's devices and drugs that are in other countries that aren't even here yet. And how do we learn about that? How do we harness those people? How do we get them here to the United States to have them speak on the topic so that we can learn from them and improve our practice? Because I remember, and you probably remember, going to international meetings where you just learn a nugget or a little bit. And that made the trip entirely worth it for you, and hence for me. And so, the genesis of it was to put together these societies, these retina societies that were kind of disparate at the time, between all of the ASRS and the society in Brazil, and then the society that was in the Middle East. They all wanted a unified kind of platform to come together once a year and kind of talk about things. And the Congress model had been around and in other areas, oncology, and it wasn't a new, but it was new in the sense that we put together 175 speakers from 47 countries in our first year of doing it. And I think it's grown, as you said,
Even larger,
exponentially.
absolutely. So huge idea. Like we're talking shooting for the moon kind of idea. And then you went ahead and executed. And your first meeting, like you said, even the first meeting was impressive. And of course, the most recent meeting is probably at least 25 to 50% larger from any metric you want to throw at it. How did you get from the idea to the execution? This is countless hours and a lot of help because you didn't do this alone, right?
This is the other learning in life, is that you're only better with partners and you're only better working with others. And over the past few years, I've really gotten to engage and understand that value of collaboration and of working with others.
And that's the thing. It takes ongoing effort. And you said a very important thing that you didn't do this single-handedly, and you didn't do this just with other doctors. There's a whole bunch of bright, fun, hardworking people who are involved in retina, we're only stronger together. And I think it's important for folks who are coming out, who have been around, like you said, medical school, you're like surrounded by doctors, which is not a bad thing. Doctors are great, We're still surrounded by doctors, but we're surrounded by lots of people who are not MD retina specialists necessarily, but certainly not practicing MD retina specialists. They're optometrists, they're veterinarians, they're non-graduate degreed, brilliant people who make these things happen.
So I think the other, just to speak on why this is important, why this drives me to do what I'm doing, I get so excited when there's a new speaker or a new person that comes and that we can help them improve their careers, get them podium time or get them on the stage for the first time. The overall, I think the biggest flattering point of any of this work that you and I both do is when you see that person who's the person you worked with in your practice or your trainee or anyone else that moves on to this great level to really move the needle themselves, right? That, that's more valuable sometimes than anything else we'll do in our careers is really inspire others. And hence, I hope I inspire others. I know you do, but we all hope we inspire others to do better and more with their careers.
Well, it's a very gratifying to see our friends flourish and folks that we've perhaps done some mentorship to flourish. I agree with you. The ability to deliver the inspiration and then see what that produces, it's a pretty irreplaceable feeling. It's a good one.
I really do enjoy the part of educating others through the we'd craft these slides and many people think, oh, they're just company slides, they just hand them to you. That's not the case. We do a lot of our own thoughts and our own beliefs go into those slides when we make them and bring them into a story to tell others about what to do and what we think is evidence-based medicine. Sometimes when you get to the separation where you have to present something that's fair and balanced. And I think that there's a lot of to speak to that. It speaks to my inner belief system and I'm able to do that.
And that's something that's unique to CME. And these are, even though the CMEs are supported by grants from essentially all grants come from our pharma partners for these meetings, the content is completely outside of their control. It's truly arm's length. These grants, and for folks who read the grants, it's an unrestricted educational grant, which means they provide the funds to the CME provider. But then the content is all our content. And we have data slides, but these are not company slides. The data is the data, and we can add color and emphasis and balance, of course, to make the educational content what it is, and not necessarily deliver any sort of sizzly steak speech. This is an educational message. So how much of your time would you say, because folks may be inspired by this and inspired by your work. I know I'm inspired by it and I love working with you, but I have not endeavored to generate a meeting or produce a CME as much as I love participating in them. What proportion of your time? I know you're a hard worker. You and I both like working, and we work, work is not 9 to 5 if you want to do the things that you've done. It's kind of a lifestyle. What proportion of your working lifestyle is committed to managing and administering these CMEs?
It's hard to say. I can't really quantify it. What I can tell you is that you're right about it being a pa these are passion projects, right? So they take the form of, days, nights, weekends, whatever it is. And like I think you probably told your kids this, and I tell mine the same. If you're doing things you love, it doesn't feel like work anymore. And between my day job and my clinic and my kind of overall activities I do outside of work, these don't feel like jobs anymore. They feel like just passion projects. So I really have been val I found value in this, and I haven't stopped. And honestly, like you could look at it and say, well, for some of these, maybe it's time to kind of push off that and give it to somebody else. And realistically, I'm just, for like Retina World Congress at this point, I'm just the advisor at this
What
point.
do you see for your work regarding medical education, or not even your work necessarily, as the future of medical education for the next 15 to 20 years?
Well, I think we always we're going to see data generation at a level that we have never expected before. I think so. As an example, it's a new paper that came out about GLP-1 and their potential risks of AMD. This sort of project would have taken years to complete, but now with data sets and investigations we have, AI-based kind of investigations we can create, we can develop data generation in very, very short periods of time. So we're going to see a plethora of stuff that's going to come out in the next few years that's going to make us look like in the past we were, drinking from a straw, and now we're drinking from a fire hose as far as how much being generated. I think that that's hugely impactful because I think there's questions that we have, and certainly, benefits and limitations to some of the things that we're seeing out there. And this is going to really help us as clinicians, I think, accelerate our knowledge base. The question I think has always been, where do clinicians get their knowledge from, and how do they get it? And I think what's going to happen, and you're probably a pioneer in this along with the people at Modern Retina, is that developing sort of snippets, bite-sized pieces that may not be, okay, here's the whole paper, now you need to really look at the whole paper. Here's really an overview by an expert that takes about a minute to do or 2 minutes to do. Could be very valuable to a lot of us. And so, that idea of continuing medical education may move on to the microsphere of CME rather than the long format that we're doing kind of now. But it's still going to be valuable, and I think it's where our demographic is going. If you ask your kids, where do they get their knowledge from? They're going to say Instagram, Facebook, and probably scowl at them at that, like I do. And I think that that's what we are going to see happen. We actually pioneered probably one of the first CMEs that was done by Twitter back in the day. And it was interesting to see kind of people's usage and responsiveness. And it was actually quite good. You could tell the demographic was obviously much younger in the groups, but it was interesting. And people got CME credit that way too. So we're going to see a movement toward that aspect, which I think we're well poised at, and I'm very excited to see because I think that that leads to greater knowledge sharing across the world for that matter.
Well, Rishi, I'm very grateful. I'm excited to kick off this series with you. I think that it's a great opportunity for folks to kind of get a look behind the curtain or of how you do the CME. It's a labor of love with you, which is my favorite part of talking to you about it. And I'm honored and privileged. I'm always thrilled when you invite me to be part of these meetings because they do feel joyous and they do feel like a celebration of our field, a celebration of our colleagues, which is the two of the my biggest whys as to why I do what I do. So thank you for coming on and thank you for chatting with me about it. And I'm sure I'll see you soon.
I appreciate that. And David, you are an incredible contributor to the field of retina. You already know that, but I have to say that, when, doing all the clinical trials you've done and doing all the contributions, you're really changing our field immensely. And so, again, it's a pleasure being here to speak to somebody like you because I know how much you are doing in this field, and you are being recognized for that, thankfully. But I think also that, we're going to be benefited by the importance and geniusness that you provide. So it's going to be great to see.
Flows both ways. Thank you, Rishi.
Yep.